What I'm saying is that, so if you see it happen to a man of God, please don't be angry. I mean, like, don't feel like this Christianity is not true. It's just another guy that began to smoke. Are you getting my point? And it happens periodically. And according to Charles Price, is it Charles Price? Yes. He said you should understand that this battle is tough. That those are wounded soldiers. They have become weak. Are you getting my point? So I don't mean it as mockery. I'm not mocking anybody. I'm going to explain something to you. That's, you know, I give myself as an example first, that if I start it, all right, that's why in life you must be careful. Listen to me. You must be careful that the devil does not wear you out. When I wrote that book, How to Work for God, I talked about the work of God, the work of rest. Are you getting my point? Nobody should lie to you that souls are perishing. You have no time to rest. Jesus, after he sent the disciples out, they came back. They were so excited. You know, the anointing. The anointing is exciting. Very exciting. There are things I hear people say. I say, I will never do it. The other day, I told you, I heard them, Andrew Woman say he preached how many times in 2 weeks? Is it 72 times in 2 weeks? The examples I don't follow. The examples I don't follow. Premature death examples, I don't follow them. There's examples. No, I'm not going to follow you preaching. You're preaching 72 times in 2 weeks. What's wrong with you? Ask Jesus Christ that saved the world. He didn't even do it. After preaching, enter boat, disappear. People could follow and you don't go hide from one corner of one mountain. Only the disciples knew how to negotiate the coral to get there. So they are looking for it. They don't mind them. Now who they go kill? Did they kill? They go kill? Did they find? It's true. To rest is the work of God. Amen? Amen. To rest is the work of God. Amen? Amen. When the disciples showed up, they were full of anointing. Man, oh God, I do like this. Two demons went in 7 different directions. Baba, oh yeah, yeah. Where's the next mission field? He looked them, shake head. He said, come aside and rest for a while. I mean, when Jethro saw Moses, Moses was so zealous, a man who had been to the presence of God. Yet when Jethro saw that man of God, Jethro said, man of God or no man of God, you will soon die. And God, you must understand the way God is. There's a God that expects to follow divine order, even though he has an anointing over your head. I told you, when Moses, that same Moses broke divine order, with the calling and anointing of God, God came to kill him. And so what happened to Moses? Moses was sitting down morning, afternoon, and night doing work of ministry. Jethro looked and said, this guy won't survive this thing for long. And he told him in simple words, the things that you are doing, all right, they are not good. You can't handle this thing like this. That's why I was shouting for Chinedum just now. I said, if you expect me to come here and supervise generator and then come and preach to you, I'm not coming here to come and watch how you connect generator. And then at the end of the day, I carry the microphone and come and preach. I must have energy to love my wife and to be father to my children. Amen? It's true. Moses wasn't doing that. He was becoming useless to everybody. He did not know it. Thank God for his father-in-law, Jethro. And whether you like it or not Jethro, that thing still killed Moses. Go and read my article. What I called Why God Killed Moses. There were 2 times God wanted to kill Moses. That is, 2 times he made an attempt on the life of Moses. The second one, he succeeded. The first one, Zipporah saved his life. Why did God kill Moses? Moses was worn out. He was used until he began to tell lies. Don't think you can't steal. Don't think say you can't collect somebody else's wife. Make them leave you first. When you are spiritually worn out, any man is capable of anything. Moses began to tell lies. They don't come again. So we have to Aaron, leave them. We'll give them water. We, water works. We, miracle worker. Because ye, Moses. In case you are wondering, why did God not forgive Moses? It was too dangerous to forgive it. Moses was worn out. The time Moses began to make those blunders, it was a sign of the weakness of his soul. So the Bible says, the righteous man perishes, no man takes it to heart. What happened was that Moses had to perish because of his righteousness so he can enter into rest. God did not actually punish Moses. God withdrew him from battle. What's the name of that commander in Afghanistan? He criticized Barack Obama once he retired from the army. That was last year. What's the guy's name? Who can remind me of his name? That American general. He was a commander of the American forces in Afghanistan. He uttered one statement in private to a reporter about Barack Obama. He doesn't know why the president is doing like this. The president should have left him alone. I've dealt with those guys. Something like that. That was it. Next day, they are relieving him of his duty. They are retired him from the army. Because there are things you don't do against the commander-in-chief. You don't criticize him. You don't laugh at him. Every joke he tells you must laugh. Why? Because he may be wearing, you know, shirt and tie. He's a commander-in-chief. What am I saying? I've forgotten the guy's name. I forgot his name, just escaped me now. What is his name? But the point I'm making is that why was he talking like that? It's simple. He was battle worn out. The fight in Afghanistan was getting to his head. So they took him out and said, go home and go and sleep. Do you follow my point? Charles Price said, listen, some of those men of God, they are worn out. You preach morning, afternoon, and night. Nobody's preaching to you. You preach morning, afternoon, and night. You don't take leave. We must redeem this nation. By the 15th year, you start telling lies. You're not a wicked man. You're worn out. That's why I made my vow long ago. God help me to continue to observe it. Every year, I take a whole month in which I don't preach to anybody. I intend to increase it. I take a whole... What did I say? Yes, every year, I take a whole month. Very soon, I'll increase it to 2 months. 2 months of just flinging. Attending other people's meetings. Reading books. Not going anywhere. Not even driving a car. When it reaches that, I will sit at the back. You need it if you are going to survive in this ministry. So a lot of people, you see that they start misbehaving. Then sometimes, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, when all your colleagues, you know, when you were in school that time, praise God, all of you were zealous. You went into ministry. That guy decided to be an engineer. One became a businessman. One became a politician. Let's make a long story short. Of all you and your friends who were very zealous for the Lord, everybody, you're all 50 years now. They've all built houses. Apart from you. You've confessed the house. You even had Bishop draw it. And give it the 3D. It's on your table in a glass showcase, the way architects do it. Say, Bishop, yeah, draw my own house like this, every morning. Hallelujah. I speak to this house, you are growing. In fact, the model is falling apart from your confession. After a while, you go read the Bible again. Somebody will say to you, turn your stones to bread. Are you not hungry? What's your own stone? Microphone. The people listening to you. If I say, everybody, put up your hand now, you know you put up your hand. Let's test it. Everybody, please, put up your right hand. See? Even though you know I'm testing you, put up your right hand. So if I say, put that hand in your pocket, you will soon put it there. Bring out everything that is inside. The first day you see it, you do it. 100K. Oh boy. You don't plot them. This one will buy the land. This one. Ah! Say, God, just for 2 years, let me collect their money. Why? You want to equate with your friends. Those are the pressures that make women of God their lies. So anytime I want to come on television like this, the Lord begins to speak to me and he says that there's a mystery behind 7 and 7. If you are going to give $77 today, I go put my hand like this. Money. Money is powerful. Go and read it. Balaam. Balaam was an Obonga prophet. He will go, knock, go. They will say, who is that? Says Balaam. The Lord will say, enter. By the Lord, there are some guys there. That is, he was such a predictable prophet. He didn't used to miss it. His prophecies were dead on balls accurate. And Balak showed the guy money. Father! Balak went and said, Lord, let's tell this. There. Come on. Are you saying we should not go? The money is good, though. We're going to give a tithe. Come on, we're going to give an offering from this thing. Come on, Lord. Let's just start explaining the wealth of the wicked is yours for the taking. This is how you are going to take the wealth of the wicked. Start explaining. That's what happened to Balaam. Why am I saying all of these things? You, child of God, don't worry. If a man of God misses it, none of your problems. Pray for him. He may just be a man who's worn out. Are you getting my point? Because he's worn out. The cares of this world, they have now finally pushed him in. Now he's begun to peddle the word of God. Don't look at one man and say he can never make a mistake. He can. But if he makes a mistake and you identify it, you just go and pray. Study the scripture. If a man is wrong, he's wrong. Like I said, one of the problems with the body of Christ today is that too many people are teaching who don't have the anointing to teach. Because if you try to teach publicly without an anointing, even the truth you are trying to pass across will cause confusion where it goes. That's why Smith Wigglesworth said, I know so much about God, much more than I'm able to teach. Because if I were to teach those things, I lose the ability to win souls. He understood divine order. So the man never wanted the pulpit to start trying to decode scriptures like people like William Marion Braham. William Marion Braham decided to do that. He had his Wigglesworth-like anointing. So he decided to start teaching. And that was it, confusion. People are still following his teachings till today. You see his pamphlets. They are titled In the Days of the Voice of the Seventh Archangel. The pamphlets are around confusion. Because a man didn't have the unction to do what he was doing, he decided to do it. Why am I talking like this? Just to let you feel safe. You follow a man for a while, listen to his words. He decided to go crazy. Don't feel like the word is not true. Just mark the date that his deviation began. Buy the books before that day, the CDs before that day. Pack those ones and go home and start praying for him. Start praying for him. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't say he can never be wrong. There were men who were right and they became wrong. Solomon was right. Then one day, you saw Bro Solo. He dressed up. He was carrying idol, following one young chiquito to a to shrine. Old men, they get tired. His age. All the problems of this life. And Solomon's problem was that he gave his strength to women. Married too many wives is very bad. Even David. And I told you before, David, you know, he at the age of 70-something, David was too weak to go to war. I was fighting like this. 70-something. Come on, read the story of Caleb. Caleb was 85. Carried his sword. Boom. Okay, Josh. Can I take the mountain? I feel just like I did 45 years ago when Moses gave that commandment. 85. Caleb led an invasion into a mountain that was full of giants. So David becoming weak at 70-something, that small boys are having to defend it. From now, you will not follow us to battle, lest the light of Israel be quenched. It's too many women. He never hears it. Nabal never even cooled down in death. He don't marry a wife. When he restored his throne to him, first thing he collected back was Michael. Now, Super Bowl just arranged the women. One after the other. The day they got to his house, Absalom, what did Absalom collect from him? Concubines. Hey! You want to fight with concubines? It's not possible. Or is the Bible says it clearly, don't give your strength. Now he gave it to Solomon. Solomon began to dream dreams. Baal can also be a manifestation of God. That you've gone to bed with Egyptian women, you will see sarcophagus. You will think it is God. What am I saying? These are the things that make men derail. If you follow him out to a point, Solomon is writing wisdom. After a while, he married Egyptian woman. Collect the book. Say, okay, go and buy another book. This one is our own. The one he wrote before he married Egyptian woman. Collect that one. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? I don't know why I'm just sitting on these things. So if you see two men of God disagreeing, don't be angry. One of them has gotten fed, he's fat, the other one is hungry. That's why they are disagreeing. The word of God has not changed. The word of God has what? It has not changed. It has not changed. You follow the word of God, you'll be saved. Alright? Ezekiel chapter 31, I was reading the scripture there, right? It says, Son of man, verse 2, said to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom are you like in your greatness? Behold, now I want, the story here is not about Pharaoh, it's not about Assyria. What I want from here is the characteristics of the cedars in Lebanon that God described. It said, behold, verse 3, Assyria was a cedar in Lebanon with beautiful branches and forest shade and very high. And its top was among the clouds. And that was literal. That was literal. The waters made it grow. That's where I'm going. Verse 4. The waters. Now, let's go back to verse 3. Assyria was a leader, a cedar in Lebanon, with beautiful branches and forest shade. That is, it was of great influence and very high. Don't forget, when Nebuchadnezzar dreamt the dream, he saw himself in his greatness as a great tree that was very high, that had a lot of shade, and many animals were nesting in his shade. That this was a sign of prosperity, of greatness, of influence, of glory. He said it was very high, verse 3. And his top was among the clouds. Notice, that was what Nebuchadnezzar said. I will exalt myself above the clouds. That is, he's talking about glory. But how did he get here? That's the question. Verse 4. He said, the waters made it grow. The deep made it high. That's New American Standard rendering. That is, the deep waters. Those are the things that made it high. With its rivers, it continually extended all around its planting place. And it sent out its channel to all the trees of the field. Therefore, its height was loftier than all the trees of the field. And its boughs became many and its branches long. Because of many waters, as it spread them out, its branches and its roots. He said, all the birds of the heavens nested in his boughs, and under its branches, all the beasts of the field gave birth. Verse 7 says, so it was beautiful in its greatness, in the length of its branches, for its roots extended to many waters. Let me stop there. What am I describing? The beauty of the cedar in Lebanon. This is a secret of its beauty. It's the deep roots that it puts down. It's the roots it spreads to many waters. A lot of Christians can't prosper far because their root is sunk into only one water. Only Pastor Banky, as an example. I don't know where I get my point. Some people go to church. You know, I told you, there are different parts of the word of God. And let me add this on to it. There are different ministers of the word. There's a very popular church in Nigeria. My friend, any member of that church, my friend feels sorry for them. Because their pastor is very encouraging. He's always motivating them. The message is 25 minutes on a Sunday. Encouraging. I'm very motivational. Is it a good message? Yes. Is it a bad message? No. But if you chop that alone, it's like you wake up in the morning, children, bread, all of you, no milk, no meat, nothing, plenty of bread and water. After 6 months, all the children will be sick. Are you getting my point? You need prophetic words. Things that somebody like me may not give out often. That's why, you know, God taught me that long ago, so I recommend preachers. I will tell you, there is this book, go and read it. I don't know everything. If I knew everything, God would have made me hard to teach everybody in the world. So a man on TV said he's the bishop of the whole world. He said something's wrong with you. Only you. Are you not even afraid? You open your mouth, you just say something's boy like that. You know they buy filter. No, human beings are funny. Are you not afraid? If the whole world wants to come to some pastor's church, they are happy. Our church is growing. You should be afraid. You should be afraid. I don't want the whole world to come to a church and pastor it. Because that's a Moses principle. I'll soon die. What am I going to say? I'm talking about the pastor. I'm talking about the follower now. He said, this cedar spread its roots to many waters. He said, take hold of one and don't let go of the other. That's what the Bible says. That's why I like, look, listen. I told you once, I went somewhere, I bought a book by a man that my friends were not so into his teachings. So I just bought the book, one of his books. So my friend saw me, but he said, what are you buying that for? He knew that that guy was not our man. Are you getting my point? You know, you tend to have a kind of person as your person. He said, why are you buying his book? I said, well, there are things that only he will understand, really. And which God says, if I don't read from him, I won't get from anywhere else. Let me just read it. Let me catch that one. Then I can drop him after. As the man was listening to, he was insulting black people, calling them monkeys and all kinds of things. He didn't use the word monkey, but used things worse than monkey. And I was in, look at this man. What's wrong with him? How can he be talking this kind of nonsense? Can you get away from there? And I was listening to the message. Tell my wife, look at this. What kind of rubbish is this? I kept on. After a while, my wife said, wait. Why are we listening to this? The man is insulting you. You are getting angry. And you are still there listening to him. Oh, I said, my baby. I was talking to my wife. I said, the truth is that there are things that only he understands. We have to hear that one before we throw away the rest. He wrote a book, Christian at Ease. He was a military man. He gave you the different strategies for achieving peace as a believer. I have never seen a book that comes close to his on that subject. Insult me from now till tomorrow. I will read it. After all, the Lord Jesus looked at the woman who came for healing. He said, bingo, confess. Is it right to give the children's food to the bingos? If he's a typical person now, this is discrimination. Somebody is suing Bishop for slapping somebody. You know, they say Bishop Wedekpo slapped somebody. One man dragged him to court for abuse of human rights. I say, Bishop Wedekpo slapped. You should go and frame the slap. What is wrong with you? I mean, anointing slapped. You should be happy. It's contact and transmission. You will prosper. I'm telling you, perspectives. The Lord Jesus, he told the woman, is it right? The woman was begging for something. And he said, this is how it is. The Jews are the children, and you guys are the dogs. Is it right to give the children's bread to dogs? The woman did not get angry. He said, maybe out of order. But when crumbs fall, when the children are full and they are fed and they are letting food drop on the floor, what is wrong if the dogs eat the ones that have fallen to the ground? Jesus said, that is a revelation. He said, be it to you according to your faith. He said, go. Your faith has made you whole. Great is thy faith. Are you getting my point? He said, daughter, great is thy faith. Go. Your daughter is well. That's a woman they call a dog. If I call you meh, you won't come here again. What am I saying? So the man was insulting me. So what? The teaching has on faith and rest for a Christian. I've not heard it anywhere else. He preached that message in 1960 something. I have the two books in my house, the big one and the small one. I've not heard that message anywhere else till today. The only other person I've heard preach it is me, and I heard it from him. Insult me. I will buy your tape. No matter how nice you are to me, if you're not telling the truth, I won't buy. He said, this cedar spread its root to many waters. The deep waters was what accounted for its great height. Maybe because of time, I want to close. Next time, I'll go on into that. I began to say today, your level in life now is not ready to change until you settle down and say, God, I need a new level of light. I need new understanding. Because what carries you as a believer is the fresh light of God that you get. If you find your life running around in circles, you need something new. Are you getting my point? You need a deeper level of truth. It's not something that contradicts all you understood before, unless you were walking in a lie, but you just need to understand God some more. I read a man of God, beautiful man of God, I love him so much. When he told the story of his life, when it came to money, prosperity, and all of that, I told myself, you know, the problem, and that's why, listen, some people, you've heard this kind of prophecy before. It's another joke, very common in Christianity. As your pastor prospers, you will prosper. It is true if you listen to only him. But me, that can never happen with me, no matter who you are. You're not the only one I listen to. Yeah, people say that kind of thing. They tell you that As a man of God, he's growing. You too, you'll be growing. And you know, it makes me like Christian. And say, yeah, praise God, that's true, yeah. And I look like, are you all right? Your life is tied to another man. You never heard that after giving you all these prophecies and all these examples. Now, fix your eyes on Jesus. Everybody's a testimony. As for fixation of eyes, look on Jesus. Now, bring an issue here. Now, this man, when he told the story of his life, and I saw the restrictions, he said all his life, all he ever had was just enough money. If he needed $1,000, he would have something between $999 and $1,001. And if he gets $1,020, he will ask God, what is the extra $20 for? And when he finished explaining, I said, this guy never had the revelation of abundance. He's not a wicked man. I spent my money to buy his books and his tapes, and they were expensive. So he's the man I love. But when I read his teaching, I said, sir, they did not teach you about abundance. They did not teach you about the El Shaddai God, the almighty breasted one. They didn't teach you about him. You will have understood that God does not think this is proper. No. No. Listen, if you have to calculate all the time to be able to remove money, to be generous to somebody else, you have not yet discovered the God of abundance. I read the man's book. I said, listen, anybody reading this, you must be careful. You must be careful that you don't, because of a man's greatness, you don't step down from the understanding that God gave you before you met him. This is not boasting. There are many great men I've heard. As they are talking, I said, this one, you don't know it. This one, no, you don't know it. I will listen to you on everything, but this one, boy, I leave you alone. Because 10 years ago, I got an understanding from the word of God, which is superior to this one you are talking about. Because I was reading this man's book and I was explaining these things. I just told myself, I said, this is not the revelation of the God of abundance. He said, it is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth. This is not wealth. You are managing, you are barely getting along. This is a wilderness experience. Food that just lasts for a few, you got idle in the morning. If you don't get it, for the day, you're in trouble. I said, no, boy, you have not yet understood the God of abundance. And that's why you should be very careful. You don't criticize things anyhow. When the gospel of prosperity came out, listen, people can make things go crazy. You understand my point? Yes, they get up and, the gospel of prosperity. Read my book, Grace to Prosper. I talk about the vow of poverty, and I talk about the vow of prosperity. The gospel of prosperity is a correct gospel. A lot of men took it and turned it to ostentation, They now get up, you see the pastor say, yeah, a pastor must drive an expensive car. It's around nonsense. A Christian can drive an expensive car if he has money for it. Are you getting my point? It's not the privilege of pastors alone. If you are ministering to a lot of people that have a lot of money, yes, all of you should drive very nice cars. But that's not all that God is doing. But let me sit on something there. When the gospel of prosperity came, it was a good gospel. It was a correct gospel. Archbishop Benson that also used to say, my God is not a poor God. That is scriptural. Paul said, I have learned to abound and not to obey. So there's an abounding part of God. Do you get what I'm saying? The gospel of prosperity was a totally correct gospel. Because of the nature, it's easy to corrupt. Are you getting my point? But the gospel has a pure form. And listen, every Christian that rejected this struggled financially. And it was not God's will. Before then, you had holiness movement. Listen, there's nothing you cannot carry into error. Most of those holiness people were hypocrites. I hope you know that. I heard a man telling a story. I don't know where. Okay, yes. It was when the Pastor Ken came to town. About a man, good man all his life. Good guy. Never drank, never smoked, never slept with any woman. Never. But one day somebody preached to him and said, listen, that will not save you. He went into deeper life. When he was through with being in deeper life, he was smoking, he was womanizing, and he was drinking. Because the deeper life people gave him a Jezebel as a wife. For the first time in his life, he went drinking. For the first time in his life, he began to smoke. He began to hang out in bars. That was when he impregnated a small girl he met there. When he married that woman, he was a virgin. Am I saying people's life is bad? No. I'm just saying no matter how holy you look outside, evil can be there. If you go to church where all the girls, all their breasts are showing, and get to one day they are covered like Muhammad's disciples, listen, evil is the same proportion, the same. Hypocrisy and licentiousness, the same thing. Both of them will not enter the kingdom of God. No, explain. Everything has balance. When the gospel of prosperity came, the people in the holiness movement that rejected it were poor their lives. There is nothing wrong with balancing holiness and prosperity. That's why I said, take hold of one and don't let go of the other. He said, the one who's pleasing to God will come out with both of them. Balance, Ed Cole said, is the key to life. Money has no character. Money is not good, it's not bad. It's just money. It acquires character from the life of the person handling it. Therefore, you can be a holy man, a righteous man, and believe the gospel of prosperity, and with it, you do the will of God with abundance. That's why, if Pastor W.F. Kumi is preaching, I listen. I do. If T.D. Jakes is preaching, I listen. Because nobody has the part of everything. Nobody has the whole part. Each person has a part. And you see, we'll continue talking about, let me close. There are deep waters. You must go for deeper revelations. Verse 7. So it was beautiful in its greatness, in the length of its branches, for its roots extended to many waters. It must be fed from many waters. You enter a man's house, all the tapes he has is by his bishop. Know that he's not a balanced Christian. He's deficient. There's a particular nutrient. We call it thiamine. That's vitamin B1. Abi, if all your life is balanced, I just take that one out of your life, your heart will fail. There's what we call folic acid or B12. Your whole life is balanced. I take only that one out of your life. You'll be anemic. You won't have blood. Funny enough, if I take one and pump you full of the other one, your spinal cord spoils after giving you initial recovery. Balance is what? The key to life. You can't say I have enough carbohydrates and proteins, fat. I have enough of all of those things. I said, this B12, this cobalamin people are selling, I don't need it. All the gospel you understand, your life will be spiritually anemic. Are you getting my point? Listen, don't be content with just being a Christian by name. My series, what am I teaching now? Go for what? Deep truth. Next week, I will continue from this point, what we're teaching on Tuesday. Paul says something. If you go and read that, Hebrews chapter 5. He said, concerning Melchizedek, we have much to say. He said, but we can't say it. Why? Because you have become dull of hearing. Why? Because he said, there's a time when you ought to be teachers. Verse 12, Hebrews 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. I said on Tuesday that there's an expectation for the chronology of your life as a Christian. If you have been a believer for a long time, and you still go to church, they say young converts class, and you still go there, something is wrong with you. It's not the going there that I'm saying. It's the necessity to go there. You are spiritually stunted. What God is saying is this. If I enter a church and I say, how many people have been Christians for 5 years here? Without asking further questions, I should be able to put you in charge of Bible classes. But these days, no. I hear of Christians that were Christians for 20 years. Then when they are sick, they go and collect T.B. Joshua's photo and put it on the wall. I know TB Joshua has his personal problems. He's not a Christian. But no matter who it is, have you been Christian for a long time, nobody's picture belongs on your wall as a source of blessing. Any picture on your wall is admiration. So you can put your wife's photo, your son's photo, your pastor's photo, and if you like baboon, you can put baboon photo there too. It's true. There's no anointing from anyone. Any Christian of a certain number of years that are still looking at picture is idolatry. Is idolatry. Is idolatry. Listen, I find it funny. Sometimes in places, a man finishes razzmatazz. So who's going to come forward right now and tap with this anointing with a generous offering? Once I see you stand up, I hope you give your life to Christ last year. If you are more than 5 years a Christian, I lose respect for you on the spot. It's one of two things. Either something's wrong with you, or you cannot stand the pressure. You know, you're a big man. If you don't stand now, both of them, the same thing. At this my level in life, nobody, God please, may I not backslide, nobody will use to get a dime out of my pocket. And if I want to give you a dime, I'm standing up. Tell me, why don't you understand? It says in the Bible, that's what my left pocket is doing, not just to my right pocket. Listen, chronology, that is the number of years, God expects it to add maturity to you. If you are not maturing after you've been a Christian for years, then you have been negligent concerning your spiritual growth. You have thought all you needed to do, next time I'm going to talk about it, you have thought all you needed to do was just go to church and come back. No, you know when children don't want to eat, you know what parents do? They use carrot and stick. If you finish your food, I'm going to give you this chocolate. You go put it on there. The pigeon go look the beans, look the chocolate. This beans is endurance. But that chocolate na reward. For the joy that set before him, he will endure the beans. But the parent knows that the beans is necessary for balanced development. Finish your soup. You don't finish it, you hold the cane. 2 strokes. The guy doesn't like this soup. This vegetable inside, why should he eat it? It's not sweet. But to avoid this punishment, he will chop up. Why? You know it is necessary for his spiritual, for his physical development. Listen, spiritually, it's like that also. There are times the food you need is not palatable. You buy a book, the grammar is bad, but it still has anointing, you will read it. As a tape, as you know, as it's going on, you hear, microphone will break. See, this peace ministry says, can't they recall properly? But you still stay there. Why? You need that word to balance your spirituality. What am I saying? It takes discipline. It takes discipline. This affliction of Manchester United, Barcelona, Chelsea, that will not allow some people to go and hear the word of God. May God deliver you from it. Football is good, though. After you have eaten the word of God and you are full, if you have spare time, just watch 24 overpaid adults run after a plastic ball that did not offend them.